All right, a couple more weeks left in our series called Powered for Living. And today is about living in the power of will, especially God's will, but also another will that we want to speak of this morning. And we find that in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So today I want to take us to walk through what it means, this will, because there's some different things that we could think of. Will, we will serve the Lord, means that we are going to, that we're committed to doing so. Joshua very well could have said, we are inclined to serve the Lord, which means that we might, but it's not really a sure thing. He could have said we're capable, meaning we have the ability to serve the Lord, but we may or may not. Or he could have said something like, we are expected to serve the Lord. And you know how it is when things become a duty or a task or a chore that we're called to do. We don't do it with much enthusiasm, and sometimes we kind of let those things slip away. I want to look at Joshua today and see that in his family life, there was not a chance that they weren't going to serve the Lord. He says with much affirmation, we are going to serve the Lord. It's the only way for my family to live. And so I want to paint this picture for you this morning of what Joshua is going through and the need for making this declaration of his faith. I want to paint a picture for you of this people that would probably give most of us pause to say, I want no part of leading this group of people. See, Joshua by this time has already been through quite a bit. He has been second in command to Moses for a long, long time. He has stood by Moses when he has made some very difficult, hard decisions. Decisions that drew much grumbling and complaining among the people. And for his faithfulness to God and to Moses, Joshua is now given the task of leading this group of people who we would figure would be tough to lead. On the back of your bulletins, we're going to use the acrostic, the word will, to kind of walk through this. And the W and I, we're going to look at the Israelites, the Hebrew people who were inclined or were capable but didn't do a very good job of serving the Lord. And then the two L's, we'll take a look at Joshua and the benefit to his family for willing to serve the Lord. The W stands for worshiping idols and complaining. Here we have the Israelites. They are right away, they've had the approaching Egyptian army come at them, and we see their very nature in Exodus chapter 14, verse 12. Where are we going here? Here's their thought. Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Now they have witnessed God wipe out the Egyptian army and save them by letting them all cross the river. And here we go, the Dead Sea, and here we get this, they're here. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, you know, God's not very good. He can't do these kind of things. As they wipes out the Egyptians, they start singing their version of how great our God. But then just a couple days later, we find them grumbling and complaining because they're thirsty. So God provides them with water. A few verses later, they're grumbling and complaining about being hungry. In fact, they even say, gosh, even back in Egypt when we were slaves, we had all the food that we wanted. Well, yeah, you had all the food you wanted because they needed you to make bricks. But here they're like, oh, we don't have enough. So God provides again. But a few days later, the grumbling begins. It's all about water again. And why did you bring us out of Egypt? Wow. We zoom ahead a little bit longer. This, we find Moses and Joshua going up to Mount Sinai to visit with God. Moses goes all the way up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And the people start to grumble. Oh, it's taking too long. Who is this guy? Do we even really know him? What's going on? Why is it taking so long? So they make their own idol. They begin to have altar offerings, and they have their own feast, and they start celebrating, drinking, and indulging. The faithful Israelites are not so faithful. They get impatient and they say, let's do it our way. Let's not wait for the Lord. Well, then we find that Moses dies and Joshua is to take over. And God says, Joshua, the time has come for you to lead these people. And when I read that, I always wonder, what did God mean by these people? And then we think, what were his next words? Be strong and be courageous. Be strong and be courageous. Be strong and be courageous. In other words, God is going, Joshua, look, man, this is not going to be anything easy. I take care of all these people's needs, and all they do is complain. It doesn't happen when they want it to happen or in their time frame, and so they complain and they whine and they groan about how good they had it in the old days. They forget all I've done, and they begin to worship idols. This morning, I'll tell you that I really feel for Joshua. And I've heard it said in more than one pastor's group that Christian people are some of the most difficult people to lead. Any given Sunday morning, it might be, hey, we didn't sing enough songs. We sang too many songs. We didn't sing enough hymns. We sang too many hymns. You don't preach enough about sin. Oh, you preach too much about sin. See, the problem is the Israelites were more worried about their desires, their wants, and their needs rather than what was for the good of the community. And it's easy for us to fall into this trap too when we don't make it our purpose in life to serve the Lord. When our purpose is to serve ourselves, then we begin to go through much of what the Israelites do. God has them standing. He has them standing at the entrance to the promised land, and all they can do is complain and whine about not having their needs met in a way that they desire and they want them to. The letter I stands for insecure and unsure. Again, right there, they're at the promised land. It's just across the river. Now, the river is normally only about 100 yards wide, but it's the flood season, and so it could be as much as a mile, and the water is flowing. But again, the Israelites, the Hebrews, have this lack of trust in God. They're ready to go back to their misery and dig their graves in the desert where their forefathers were buried because they don't trust in God. Yes, there's a great promised land over there, but there are huge armies, and there are well-fortified cities. How are we going to get across there? They forgot that God promised them that it was a land filled with milk and honey as well. And so they stand at the exit there, to the entrance to the promised land, and here's what we hear. We go back to 14. Oh, let me go to Numbers here real quick, instead of Exodus again. Numbers 14, verse 1. That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if we had died in Egypt or in this desert, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back. Skip ahead to verse 6. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not be afraid of the people of the land because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid. You see, they stand again right at that bearing where they need to go across, but yet they would rather go back to what they had in the past. Yes, there's questions about going into this new territory. There's questions about how big the armies are, how big the cities are, how great is the blessing that we will have, how much effort will it take, what will it cost us to do so. How would Joshua lead these people in the face of all these questions? Certainly, he doesn't do it by complaining and groaning and moaning. See, Joshua is told in chapter 1, verse 3 of Joshua that wherever you set your foot, God said, I will give it to you. Joshua has God's promise that all they have to do is put their feet on the land and he will take care of it. It's much like when they got Jericho by just blowing on ram's horns and shouting. God took care of it and delivered it. God is taking care of those things for them. Anytime that we cross into new territory, anytime that we want to go someplace new, do something different, there are going to be some risks and some challenges that we have to face. For the Israelites, the challenges and obstacles became big, and they became permanent because they didn't trust in God. I think it's the same way for us today as well. Anytime that we try to move in a new direction, anytime that we pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, there are going to be obstacles. There are going to be things for us to overcome. And getting over those obstacles will take faith, just as it did for the Israelites. But see, we have an advantage. We have even more of a blessing because we know how things turned out. We have a divine history of God fulfilling his promises when he says he'll do something and he does it. See, for those who, as Joshua, say, we will serve the Lord, obstacles will come, but they're only going to be temporary in our lives. For those who struggle, who are capable or who are inclined to, those obstacles become real and they become long life. They become part of who they are. And so today we have to remember that when we say we will serve the Lord, God will help us over those obstacles. He will be with us. He tells us to be strong and courageous. He promised Joshua, just as he had promised Moses, I will be with you as we go. So the Israelites struggled because their faith wasn't quite there. They hadn't made that commitment to serve. But as we turn to the L's, now we begin to look at what it means to live a life of service to the Lord. The first L means leaning on the Lord in uncertain times. Joshua and Caleb are really the only ones that have seen the promised land. They were part of the 12 that went. And remember, 10 of them out of the 12 thought this was not a good idea to go in. And so their faith must have been something that was unbelievable. Again, we don't know how big the cities are, the armies, whatever it might be. What are those things that they're facing? But Joshua has been promised that this land is theirs. Now, crossing the flooding river was a trial. But God said, just put your foot in the water. Just put your foot in the water and I will take care of that obstacle. See, God's ways don't always make sense. It didn't make any sense to try to cross a flooding river. But Joshua trusted in God. He trusted that because he was vowing to serve the Lord, God would protect them and watch over them. And because of Joshua's great faith, the people were able to cross the river and lay hold to the land that God had promised them. Was it scary? I imagine there was a lot of fear as they even stepped their first feet into the water. And as they got into the promised land, facing those great walled cities and the giants that lived in that land, was it easy? Probably not, even though God had promised them victory. But was it worth it when they got there? The promised land was now their land. The next L is look to the future. See, self-centered people like the Israelites in this case, only look to their instant pleasure. They look to instant gratification. What's going on right now? What can I do to be happy in the here and, here and now? Joshua, on the other hand, knew that there was going to be some problems. He knew that it was going to be a tough task to divvy up the land, that these very people he's given land to had complained with their thirst quenched and their bellies full. Was he going to be able to satisfy them in doing this? But trusting in God's promises, Joshua did just well. If you have your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 13. Joshua chapter 13. Come on. Let me get there. Joshua chapter 13, verse 1. Pages are sticky this morning. Here we go. When Joshua was old and well advanced in years, the Lord said to him, "You are very old, and there are still very large areas of land to be taken over." And if we buzz ahead to Joshua chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. After a long time had passed and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then old and well advanced in years, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, "I am old and well advanced in years." See, looking to the future, those who serve the Lord will look to the future because that's where our hope is. We're not so concerned with what's going on, but that's the problem for many of us, is that the fruits of our labors don't always just happen. You know, we live in a society where people are numbers-driven and results-driven, especially having come from an athletic background. Everything is about, what have you done for me today? Winning and losing. But as Christians, sometimes the fruits of our labors as we invest in God's people don't readily appear. And here we see that with Joshua in his lifetime. He's very old now, and he may not see everything, all the blessings that he had labored for. He's in his 80s. He's finished up the division. There's still work to do. You and I are called to serve, even though we may not be witness to the results that we want. Those people that we've been witnessing to, we may not see them come to salvation. We may not see the fruits of our labors. But in Isaiah chapter 55, there is a great promise from God, our Heavenly Father. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, he says, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth, that will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." See, we spend so much time trying to please people and make them happy, but God says, look, just do my will. Do my purpose. I will not forget it. And so what we should be living for is not the immediate results that we say that we can see today, but we should be living and serving the Lord for, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." See, living in God's will and committing to serving God's will are difficult. But Joshua, because of his great faith, he believed in these promises of God. He knew that God would see him through. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life," God tells him. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave nor forsake you." Again, Joshua, just 2 of 12, who trusted that what God was doing in their life was to be a good thing. Says something great about his faith when he had to go against 10 of his brothers to just try to fulfill God's will. After all they had seen and witnessed, there was still a struggle to come through. But in Joshua chapter 1, here's the words of encouragement that Joshua gets. "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give to them. Be strong and be very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For I, the Lord your God, will be with you wherever you go." Joshua has committed to serving God, and he knows that because of this commitment, God will walk with him hand in hand in making his will come about. Joshua's will now becomes the determination and the purpose of his life, is to see God's will fulfilled on earth. This morning, as we did the Lord's Supper, that was Jesus' purpose on earth as well, to fulfill God's will for you and I. Again, in the garden, he prayed, "Not my will, but your will be done." It's my prayer today that we would take these words from Joshua into our households today, because we have a choice to make. That choice becomes ever more difficult in our society today. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Will you serve the gods of materialism? Will you serve the gods of success that society says? Will you serve money? Will you serve sports? What will it be that you serve today if you choose not to serve the Lord? But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We live in a crazy day and age when we are being forced more and more to choose. Choose whether to serve our desires, our wants, our needs, because society says we are entitled to it. One of McDonald's greatest marketing commercials was, "You deserve a break today." We don't deserve anything, folks. But we've been given great grace and mercy in Jesus Christ. So it's for that reason that we need to stand today and say, I will serve the Lord. I will serve the Lord and help bring about His kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we are your people. And ever more so in this day and age, we are being forced to choose. Forced to choose who we would serve. Forced to either go along with the ways of society and the pressures that come from it, or stand as Joshua did in the face of grumbling and complaining and people speaking ill of us to bring about your will. Lord, I pray that you would help us to maybe take some time as we think of the Lord's Supper and we think of our time together this morning to inventory those things that we are choosing to follow. I pray that you would help us understand the promise to Joshua to be strong and be of courage. Be strong and be courageous. Do not be terrified, for I, the Lord your God, am with you, just as I promised Moses, I will be with you. And for us today, we grab hold of that promise, just as you promised Moses, just as you promised Joshua, that you are with us today. Jesus, before leaving this earth, promised us the same thing, that he would be with us until the end of the ages. So we ask, Father, that you would guide us and lead us in all that we say and do. Now, Father, maybe the first thing that we need to do this morning is if we have not made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, in keeping with your desire that all come to salvation, if there is somebody here this morning who has not fulfilled that desire to make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, to accept his free gift of salvation, that they may have the hope of eternal life, their sin, the penalty for their sins taken care of, erased. Pray that you would touch their heart this morning, that you would work through the power of the Holy Spirit to help them grab hold of the promises that you have, just as Joshua and the Israelites finally did. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to share together. We ask that you would watch over us and keep us, and all that we do and say, you would be glorified and honored. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand if you would. I want to share one more piece of scripture with you. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. As we sing, my challenge to you this week is, what will you do this week to help fulfill the Lord's will? Let's sing.